on up, Steve.
Thank you. So if there's anyone who doesn't know me, my wife Ellen and I are the youth pastors here. And it's really just a privilege just to be able to speak tonight. We definitely missed you guys last week. We were traveling and visiting my family in Pittsburgh. It was really good to see them, but we definitely missed our Destiny family here. So tonight we're continuing. We've been in this series called Kingdom of Me. We've been working through, it's kind of been structured based on a passage from 2 Timothy 3. That's actually the first verses we're going to read tonight. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. So if you want to start off by turning there. And if you don't have a Bible, there are some available. So if you need one, you can definitely snag one. But we're in 2 Timothy 3. And we're in the series called Kingdom of Me. Now, the verses in 2 Timothy, it's Paul writing a letter to Timothy, who is probably pastoring a church at this time. So it definitely has a specific context for Timothy, but it is also very applicable for churches in general, because he's kind of teaching him on church life. So the verses 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, it says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them." So the emphasis from this passage that we've been kind of working through is just that we try to build up ourselves. We try to build up our own kingdom. And what I think is kind of the foundation of this kingdom, what we've been referring to as the kingdom of me, is pride. Now, the reason that Chris asked me to talk about pride tonight is because I am the most humble person that he knows. Which is actually not true. Moses is the most humble man who walked the earth, and that is from Numbers 12:3. So we're talking about pride tonight. So the first thing I always think of when I think of pride, I always get the mental image of a football player doing a touchdown dance. Or nowadays, a football player doing a dance after any play that they're involved in. But that's kind of only half the picture of pride, because there definitely is an outward expression of pride, but there's also an inward condition that is definitely an element of pride as well. Now, tonight's probably going to be a tough talk. All the talks in this series have been kind of tough stuff to hear. And definitely as I was preparing this, I had a hard time preparing, because it's a tough topic to wrestle with. But I think if we come at it honestly, like we've come at the talks previously, and as people who are striving to be like Christ, then I think what can come from this is freedom and hope. But what we need to do is we need to allow Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And from that, allow Holy Spirit to work in us. So the passage that I'm going to be speaking on tonight, it's a story from 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. And in 2 Chronicles 26, the story is about King Uzziah. And if that is not how you say his name, I don't really care. Because as I've been practicing, I've been saying King Uzziah, so I'm stuck on it. So if anyone knows that it's different, you can tell me tomorrow afternoon. But so in the Old Testament, for the Israelites, they wanted a king. Initially, they didn't have a king, and they wanted one. And God gave them a king, and there were a few kings in the line that they were ruling over a united kingdom. And after a certain point, that through disputes between the king and the people he was ruling, the kingdom split. And so it split into two groups of Israel and Judah. And Uzziah was the king of Judah in his time. And we're going to look at his story in 2 Chronicles 26. And as we look at his story, there's three key aspects that I really think that we can see in his story as well as our own lives. The first thing is trusting in our own abilities. And the second is taking God's glory for ourselves. And the third is having a misconception of who we are. And each of these is in the context of pride. So, starting in 2 Chronicles 26, I'm going to kind of skip over a few verses. It's a bit of a long chapter, but starting in 2 Chronicles 26, it says, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father Amaziah. He was the one who rebuilt Elath and restored it to Judah after Amaziah rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jecoliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. He went to war against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, Jabneh, and Ashdod. He then rebuilt towns near Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines." Then jumping to verse 9, "Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle of the wall, and he fortified them." And then skipping down a bit to verse 11, "Uzziah had a well-trained army ready to go out by divisions, according to their numbers, as mustered by Jael, the secretary, and Maaseiah, the officer under the direction of Hananiah, one of the royal officials. The total number of family leaders over the fighting men was 2,600. And then jumping to verse 15, "In Jerusalem, he made machines designed by skillful men for use on the towers and on the corner defenses to shoot arrows and hurl large stones. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful." So the first 15 verses are all about Uzziah's success. And then starting in 16, we're going to read straight through, is really what we're going to focus on tonight. "But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah, the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him in. They confronted him and said, 'It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord God.' Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, became angry. While he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave, because the Lord had afflicted him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night and for your word. We ask that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would just give us open hearts and open ears, Lord, that we would just hear what you would have for us, and that we would just be willing to allow your word to change us, Father. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, from the first 15 verses, it's clear Uzziah was successful. Right? God blessed him in many ways. And really, the important ways for a king. Right? He had a huge army, and he fortified his kingdom, and he was successful in battle. So those are kind of the really important things for a king. And Uzziah had all of that. And because of that, his fame spreads. People know about him. If you're conquering different people in battle, obviously word is going to spread that you're someone to watch out for. And verse 15 says that he was greatly helped. And that's the key in his early life, is that God was the source of everything for him. And Uzziah understood this for a time. But as is common with success, we can easily forget how we got to where we are. And in Uzziah's case, he did forget. So he starts to think that the reason that he is so powerful and successful is that it was something he did. Right? So he took his power for granted, and he thought he was superior, and he wanted more for himself. And he didn't think he was bound by the structure that God set in place. You see, in Leviticus, God talks about, God sets up the rules for the priesthood. And there's a bunch of different rules about cleanliness and who can be the priest and who can come before God. And I think that it was intentional that God made sure it wasn't the king who was the priest, because I think he was wise and knew that we couldn't handle that much power. But Uzziah wanted all of that power. He wanted to be both king, and he wanted to take over the religious leadership. And he based his success on his own efforts and his own decisions and his own will. And as he did that, he turned away from God's will. Right, in verse 16, it talks about how he was unfaithful to God. Now, his end result of trusting in himself and emphasizing his own efforts and will was disobedience. Now, for us, our end result might not be the exact same thing as his, but I think the source is the same, and I think that the result will be the same as well. And as I prepared for this talk tonight, one kind of end result of trusting in ourselves that really stood out to me is having fear and anxiety in the circumstances that we're in. Now, to better describe it, I'm definitely going to tattle on myself, because this is something that I struggle with and recently had issue with. When my wife and I moved to Louisville, we moved here to be a part of Destiny, and we didn't have any jobs lined up, and we were moving just on the faith that God would set something up for us and God would provide for us. Now, in coming to Louisville, I started the job search process 3 months before we came. And before I finally got the job I'm at now, I literally applied for over 500 jobs. Like, I counted at one point, and it was at 500, so it was probably more. But in this time, I applied for all of these jobs, and I had a decent amount of interviews, but I just wasn't finding a job. It just wasn't, the final step of getting hired wasn't happening. And it's funny, because there was a particular night in general where I was waiting to hear back on a job interview, and I was just miserable. And Ellen is a saint for trying to cheer me up, but I was just a jerk and a punk and wouldn't have anything to do with it. Because the company I interviewed with, which of course is now the company that I work at, because God is awesome like that, I had interviewed there initially for a sales position and didn't get it. And then they called me back and said, maybe you can interview for a position in our operations department. Which I kind of thought, if you didn't want me for sales, I don't know why you would want me for operations. So I didn't have a lot of confidence that I was going to get this job. But the real reason, and I think where pride comes in, the root of it, was that deep down, I think, looking back now, my thinking was, I put in all of these applications, and I went to all of these interviews, and I haven't found my job yet. And I was at the point where I didn't think I had any more options, because I had done everything that I thought I could do. And I had just such this great anxiety and this fear, because all I could focus on was that I had done all this stuff and it hadn't worked out so far. And all of that is rooted in pride, because really what I was saying is, if my efforts couldn't do it, it wasn't going to get done. And I think that's common in our circumstances, where we want to take back control. I think sometimes we kind of give God a trial run, or we give him like a set amount of time where we're like, if you handle it, you can handle it in this amount of time, but if a certain point passes, I'm going to step in and I'm going to take over again, or I want control again. And I think pride is at the root of that, because we wouldn't try to take control again if we didn't think we could do it better. Right? Because think of it this way. I don't know anything about cars. So if there's ever an issue with my car, I'm going to take it to a mechanic. I'm not going to try to mess with it myself. I'm not going to do anything. this past summer I put wiper fluid in a car for the first time. Like, that is how clueless I am about cars. And I would never try to do anything to fix my car because I don't think I can handle it. And that's the same thing in our life circumstances. We wouldn't try to take control if we didn't think, to some extent, we could handle it. And so I think rooted in that is a bit of pride. Now, the great thing here is that God is absolutely more than capable. In the Old Testament, they had a practice of rehearsing all the things that God had done for them. And they would look to their past and what God had done in their past to give them confidence for their present and their future. God is our strength, our source. He provides for us physically and spiritually. Right, think about the greatest need that we have. The greatest need that we have is the need for a Savior, for help in our sin, in our sinful and lost state. And God meets that need. Christ came and lived a perfect life and died for us so that if we repent and submit to Him, we can claim His righteousness. If God can meet our greatest need, God can definitely meet any other need we have. And what we need is just humility rather than pride. Humility to rely on Him and to trust Him in those circumstances. So, as we look at Uzziah's story and pride in our own lives, the question that comes to mind is why? What is the end goal in pride? And I think the answer involves honoring ourselves instead of honoring God. So initially, Uzziah wants to honor God. He is trusting in Him. He recognizes that his success is from God. Right? Verse 5 says that as long as he sought the Lord, he was successful. And from all those verses, we can see that Uzziah was successful. So if he was successful, he was seeking after God. And in all of this, his focus was on God's glory. Right? God honored him and blessed him, but that was a product of him focusing on God's glory. So that was the after effect, but his focus was on God's glory. But as he experienced this, his priorities began to shift. He kind of got a taste for what it was like to have that blessing and to have people notice him and respect him as a king, and he started to shift his focus. Now, God's blessing and honor wasn't enough for him. In verse 18, the priests confront him, and they tell him, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord your God." So God did not honor what Uzziah was doing because it didn't glorify God. It didn't honor God. And Uzziah didn't care at all. Now, our focus should be on giving God glory. Everything else is secondary to that. In Isaiah 43, I'm going to pull from verse 7. But in this chapter, Isaiah prophesies about God calling his people to return to him through his servant Christ. And in verse 7, he speaks of God's people and he calls them, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, who I formed and made." So, we are all called by God's glory. We are all called by God's name and created by Him. So therefore, we are all created for God's glory. And that's our true purpose. In Revelation 7, it gives a vision of heaven one day where people of all tribes and all tongues and all nations are praising God. If we're going to spend eternity praising God and glorifying His name, I think it's safe to say that that's what our purpose is. We would not spend eternity doing it if that wasn't our ultimate purpose. Now, the issue for Uzziah and the question for us is, are we satisfied with this? Do we look at bringing God glory and honor and praise as our singular goal in life? Now, there are many different ways that we can do this, that we can bring God glory. But is His glory our focus? And are we satisfied living a life that has the purpose of bringing God glory. Now, our next sermon series that's coming up, which I can't remember if it's right after this or soon to come, is talking about spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts definitely involve different levels of notoriety. Some are very obvious that people notice and pay attention to, and others are not. But all of them bring glory to God. So as we explore these gifts, whether you know what your spiritual gift is now, or you will come to know that in our next series, are you satisfied with a gift that might not be as noteworthy or get attention from others as a different gift might? Or do we want something that people will kind of notice and be impressed with? So this is a huge heart question that we have as we're preparing for these talks, and as we look to claim the spiritual gifts that God has for us. Are we satisfied in our gifting solely because it brings God glory? Also, in general, where is your place in the body of Christ? What is your purpose in the church? We've been blessed that we've been growing, and there's awesome opportunities where people have stepped out and started to be involved in different ministries. Where is your place in the body? Right, the Bible gives this metaphor as the body of Christ. The lungs are vital for life. And if you didn't have lungs, you would be dead. But no one really notices the lungs. I mean, I don't really dwell on the fact that I'm breathing. I don't focus on it. I don't really notice it. But if I stopped breathing, I would notice it. But so a functioning lung doesn't really get a lot of attention. But your hands are what you create things with. You paint with, you write with, you throw a touchdown pass with, you make things with your hands. And what you do with them is evident, and people notice what you create. What if in the body of Christ, you are the lungs? What if you are not the hands? What if whatever God is calling you to doesn't really get a lot of attention or doesn't get noticed and might be taken for granted? Are you satisfied in it, knowing that you living that out brings God glory and that's the end of it? Or does bitterness kind of creep up in our heart, or jealousy because no one really pays attention to what we're doing, but we kind of want that? There's definitely been a theme of unity that's been discussed in a number of different contexts for Destiny. Pride has no place in unity. Unity comes through humility and each member desiring to do only what they're called to do, simply because it brings God glory. Uzziah was a king who initially glorified God by focusing on God and striving to do what God called him to as king. But that wasn't enough for him. Is glorifying God in whatever way he has specifically created and called each one of us enough? Or is our focus on ourselves? Is God's glory alone enough for us? Now, the last point we have, which is a misconception of who we are, and I kind of have in parentheses here, and who God is. This last point, I think, kind of gets at the very heart of everything we've talked about tonight. You see, we seek out our own glory, I think to some extent, because we think we deserve it. Like in some way it's owed to us, or God owes us blessing and honor. We have a distorted view of ourselves, just like Uzziah did, that makes us prideful. Right, so in the passage, Uzziah is following his own will, pursuing his own glory, and the courageous priests confront him. I really like that my version called them the courageous priests. I think that's really cool. But when they confront him, Uzziah does not recognize that they're right and repent of what he's doing. Instead, he responds in this manner. In verse 19, it says how he responds. It says, Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand, ready to burn incense, became angry. While he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. Right? So Uzziah's response to the priests was anger. And I think pride is often at the root of anger, but anger is definitely a sermon all on its own. But I'm just guessing here, but I think we can kind of imagine what Uzziah was thinking in this moment. I picture him thinking, how dare these priests confront me? I'm the king. I'm the most powerful man. Who do they think they are confronting me? And I think the emphasis throughout that is the focus on himself. The emphasis is me. And I think all of this is based on some sort of sense of entitlement. Right? Uzziah is trusting his own abilities, seeking his own will, seeking his own glory, because he thinks he has a right to. Like, that's what he deserves. And the question we have is, what do we deserve? What does God owe us? What are we entitled to? And the answer is nothing. Actually, the answer is not nothing. The answer is that we deserve something terrible. We deserve worse than nothing. Now, before we take a real hard look at who we are and what we actually deserve, I want to preface it by saying that this is absolutely by no means a jumping off point for putting ourselves down or having low self-esteem, living under condemnation, or self-abuse in any way, shape, or form. That's not what's at the heart of this. Because you see, the reality is we are created in God's image. We are uniquely created by him as his children. But we ruined it. We turned away from him and became stained and unholy. In Romans 3:23, it talks about how all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And worse than that, the consequences of this are the terrible things that we deserve. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. So this is a picture of who we are and what we deserve. We're sinful, and the consequence of sin is death. Now, thankfully, God does not leave it this way. God sent Christ to take our consequence, to break the chains of sin, and to give us eternal life and hope through him. But God's grace, mercy, and love are a blessing and a gift. It's the furthest thing from what we deserve. Now, this does not change. I think it can be easy to kind of forget this as we start to walk out in freedom and strive to be more like Christ. I think we can kind of lose sight of this. But this isn't something that changes. In Matthew 5, Jesus says that blessed are the poor in spirit. And he's referencing people who recognize that on our own, before God, we have nothing. And that's the view we should have of ourselves, not some sense of entitlement that we deserve something from God, that God owes us something, but recognizing that whatever God has for us, that's a blessing. And God does have wonderful things for us, but it's definitely a gift, and it's not something he owes us. So here it is in Uzziah's story and in our own lives. We trust in our own abilities, we take God's glory for ourselves, and we have a misconception of who we are. Now, the way it's been structured so far is to line up with how the scripture passage is set up. But we definitely need to hear God's heart on this, that working through pride is not about avoiding certain things or focusing on negative things to try not and do. Right? If we're focusing on negative things not to do, we're focusing on something negative. Right. And if our focus is on something negative, no matter how hard we try, at some point the negative is going to come out.
Yeah.
That is just what happens when we focus on the negative. Christ is not in the business of giving us a list of don'ts. Christ always gives us hope and something to work toward, a positive to strive for, an example to follow. And that's the same thing in the case of pride. So put your trust in God, because God is absolutely more than capable. And seek his glory, and only his glory. And as his favor and blessings are upon us, let's appreciate them for what they are, knowing that it's not what we deserve. And if we're in a season where it doesn't feel like maybe there's as much favor and blessing on us, let's praise him all the more, knowing that whatever our circumstances are, they are so much better than what we actually deserve. Now, as we prepare to close here, which, Chris, you can definitely come back up. There's something that God really put on my heart for this time. He gave me the image from Matthew 13, which is the parable of the weeds. And to paraphrase this parable, a man has a field of crops, and his enemy at night sows weeds among his crops. And his servants come back to him and tell them what happened, and they want to just pull the weeds up immediately. And the man says, don't pull them up right now, but wait until harvest time, and then we'll sift the weeds out. Because if you pull the weeds immediately, you're going to take out some of the crops. And in our church right now, we're definitely, and in our lives, I think we're approaching a time of maturity. As we're looking to move into a new building, as we continue to grow. And I think based on the content of what we've been working through in our time together, we're approaching a period of maturity. And in this time, we're pursuing God more, and we're seeking more of what he has for us. And in that, I think God wants to sift our hearts of pride that creeps in. The point that really stood out for me as I was preparing was the idea of just being content in what God has for us in our gifting and in our calling. And just being content, knowing that as we walk that out, that's what brings him glory. And that's what we're made and called to do. Now, like the parable of the weeds, pride can, like the weeds in the parable, pride can creep in those, what would be a good circumstances, because giftings and callings are great on their own, but pride can kind of sneak in. It can sneak in the form of wanting praise for ourselves or jealousy or bitterness. And the time has come for a harvest where we need to sift away the weeds. And as we were worshiping tonight earlier, one thing that came to me is maybe that might not be you. Maybe you're on the flip side where you're kind of intimidated by your gifting or your calling because you're wary of being prideful or wary of some sort of negative coming out of that. And there's no need for fear. There should never be a spirit of fear in those things if we're seeking it solely for God's glory. And you can have confidence in that, knowing that if you're going at it for God's glory and you're embracing that gifting and that calling for God's glory, that there's no reason for fear at all. So tonight, I think God wants to sift our hearts. He wants to rid us of our pride once and for all so that we can walk in freedom, and that we can claim our gifting and calling so that we can use it for the kingdom of heaven rather than the kingdom of me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have endless mercy and grace, Lord. That no matter how many times we trust in our own abilities or how many times we try to seek our own glory, or what our attitude is about what we think we deserve from you, that you always, always call us back, Lord. Yes. Father, we repent of those times where we take the focus off of you and put it on ourselves, Lord. That we don't seek your glory and we don't worship you and appreciate all the amazing things you do for us and the infinite number of things you are able to do, Lord. Father, we just ask that in this time you would speak to our hearts where in areas where we've kind of lost that focus on you. Lord, and I pray specifically over gifting and calling, Father, that you would give us a satisfaction knowing that glorifying you is what we were made to do. Yes. And that ultimately that's what's going to bring us the most joy because that's what we were created for. Yes. Lord, we just want your glory, Father. Yes, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.